Please be seated. I'd like to read another passage of Scripture for you that comes to us from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, beginning in the 40th chapter. The prophet Isaiah writes these words. He says, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your Lord. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, 'In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken.' A voice says, 'Cry out.' And I said, 'What shall I cry? All people are grass. Their consistency is like the flower in the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. Get up, get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem. Herald of good tidings, lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs to his arms and carry them to his bosom, and gently lead the mother sheep." May God's blessings rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this night. For they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we pray that in a special and intimate way, your Spirit might come upon and touch each and every one of us, to offer to us your grace and your forgiveness, to offer to each and every one of us, O God, your comfort. Your arms that securely hold and wrap around each and every one of us. From the activities of daily life and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, give us rest. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Advent says to us first and foremost that God cares about a broken world. Isaiah was speaking to a broken nation. Much of the nation of Israel had been carried off into Babylon. They had experienced their country being devastated, their temple being destroyed. They were carried away into exile, and they weren't sure what was going to happen. They longed to return to their homeland. Isaiah assures them that God has not forgotten them nor forsaken them. Their suffering is almost over. And God tells them that a vast highway is going to be built over which they will travel through the wilderness from Babylon back home, the promised land, once again. But we know in reading the rest of the scriptures that when they did return home, that it was different. It was not the same. And life's pieces needed to be picked up and rebuilding need to occur. In the New Testament, John the Baptist cries that soon God will build an even more important highway, linking humanity with God. The message is the same. God cares about a broken world. God cares about broken people. God cares about you and me. Brian Abel Reagan's father used to tell him a story every Christmas when he was growing up. It was about a little boy who was poor. His widowed mother struggled to make ends meet. The little boy had one toy, a sad little car in awful condition. It had only one window, two wheels. The roof was smashed in, but the boy loved this, his only toy, his car. It was almost Christmas, and the boy knew that there would be no presents under the tree that time of year, but he was excited anyway. You see, it was the first year that he would be able to go to midnight mass on Christmas Eve, and he couldn't wait, because he knew that before mass began, that people brought in an abundance of gifts. They gave them to the Christ child, and he couldn't wait. He had been told that the gifts were magnificent jeweled chalices. They were placed on the altar. There were new clothes for poor children like himself, and there were envelopes full of money. The little boy wanted so much himself to be able to give the Christ child a present. And so he set out to earn money before Christmas to do just that, to buy that special gift for the Christ child. He had enough money to buy a gift for the Christ child, and he got his money together, and he sat at the kitchen table, and he spread it out and counted it all out. Just as his mother returned home, and not knowing that he had this money, she said, "Oh my goodness, my son," she said, "what a good boy you have been. Now we can have a real Christmas dinner." And before he could collect his money, she scooped it up and was off to the market to buy what was needed for the meal. The little boy was heartbroken. What was he going to do now? You've already guessed it, haven't you? On his dresser, he saw that broken car, his favorite toy, and he knew that that was the only thing he had to give the Christ child. And so he put the car in his pocket, and he went off to Mass. When he arrived, the church was filling up. He walked timidly to the manger scene, which was set up before the sides of the altar, and magnificent gifts were already piled up before the Christ child. And the little boy laid his token, broken toy car amidst all of the other treasures. He squeezed into the pew close by to the organ just as the playing began. About this time, one of the ushers took a last look at the manger scene to make sure that everything was in place, and suddenly he spied the car. Who would put a piece of trash like this at our Lord's crib? He said just loudly enough for the little boy to hear. The usher picked up the toy car and threw it across the church. The little boy was crushed. There was no time for him to retrieve the gift. The organ was playing and the procession had begun. Then suddenly everything came to a dead stop. To the amazement of everyone that was present that night in the church during the worship service, the baby in the manger came to life and crawled across the stone floor. He crawled until he reached that broken car, then carefully tucked it under his arm and crawled back into the manger. And by this time, all of the people had fallen on their knees. At this point, the priest rose and approached the manger. There, just as before, was a plaster child with a halo. But now he smiled, and his arms were folded tightly around the broken toy car. Now, Brian remembers hearing his father tell this story, and he resented it. He didn't like his father. You see, his father had problems with alcohol. When his father wasn't passed out drunk, he was a foul-mouthed terror. Brian had a difficult time forgiving his father. He felt his father was trying to use this story to manipulate him into being a more obedient son. With time, however, Brian came to put this little Christmas story into its proper perspective. As I think of my father's Christmas story now, says grown-up Brian, I realize that I cast my father in the wrong role. My father was not the good little boy who gave his last plaything to the Lord. You see, he said, I came to realize that my father was the smashed car. He was a wreck. But despite or because of all of this, he clearly longed to be cradled in his Savior's arms, to have Christ seek him after he had been rejected by everyone else. Here's why we call the story of Jesus good news. Because God cares about a broken world. God cares about broken people. God cares about the brokenness of you and me. And that's what Advent and Christmas is all about. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. You see, Jesus Christ came into the world as this child of Bethlehem to identify with the world's suffering. That's the whole point of this season of Advent. Advent comes from the Latin word that means to come. Jesus came into our world that he might walk in our shoes. May we give all of our hurts and our sorrows to the one who knows how to care for them best. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the good news. That you come for the lost, the least, the last, the lonely. You come as the one to shoulder and carry our burdens, our hurts, our needs, our joys, our celebrations. You come to each and every one of us in our moments of need, our highest joys, our lowest lows. Continue, O God, to enable us to feel your presence. And the blessings that you seek to offer to each and every one of us. For it's in Christ's holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.